Appreciate your prayers this afternoon. Realize that words aren't enough. We surely do need the Spirit of the Lord to bless whether few or many, to make His Word of eternal value to us. Appreciated that song. I'm so thankful that we can have something within, something that we can experience, something that we can know, that we can feel, that the world, skeptical though they might be, that I can be able to say I have something that I know. You can't take it from me. It's within. It's something that I possess. So we heard in Sunday school, it's something that I have handled myself. I've been eyewitness to, that I've experienced, that I have within, that the world can't take. We need something today that the world can't take away. And the Lord surely has something for us. Like to consider, by the Lord's help, something He's been talking to me about, and I'd like to be able to tell you today that I learned this years and years ago, and I've never had to battle it since, but I'm learning too, and the Lord's challenging me with this, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I'd like to consider the thought of contentment. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy 6, and beginning in the 3rd verse. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. The things that I've taught and that I've given you, that I've passed along to you, that the Lord's revealed unto you, Paul was very careful to warn, don't accept anything else. He said in one place, though an angel from heaven were to teach any other doctrine, because what I've given you is the Word of God. So hold on to that. Don't let anyone take that from you. But you know, many, many times people have come to a place that they believe that the gospel is not enough. That the old-time gospel message, the simplicity of it is not enough. That we need to doctor it up a little bit. We need to embellish it a little bit. We need to add to it. We need to modify it or doctor it enough. But you know, it's still the simple old gospel that we need, that the world needs. We live in different times. We live in the millennial generation, and the generation that's coming behind it, they have tags for all of these generations. The Word of God is still fitted for every generation in its purity and in its simplicity, and I'm thankful for that. But he was warning Timothy here of those who would come in, and they would bring something else. They have a different agenda. They have something else that they're striving for. He said, supposing that gain is godliness. Do you know that is the mindset of the world? The mindset of the world is you succeed if you gain. If you're able to accumulate more for yourself and fulfill your dreams and live out your wishes, and if you're able to have more stuff next year than you have this year, you're doing all right. You're succeeding by the world's standards. Supposing that gain is godliness, or that is the virtue that I'm living my life for. That's the game that I'm playing, so to speak. It's what I'm expending myself for, is to be able to gain, to be able to get for myself. But there's a different mindset that we're to subscribe to. He says, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's where the real gain is. That's where the real benefit is. To be able, if I can earn nothing else in this life, if I can gain no men's recognition and applause or my name on any buildings or billboards or anything like that, if I can be able to gain godliness, if I can be able to have a godly life, he said, coupled with contentment, that's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. There's something else for you to strive after. There's something else for you to obtain, and it's not what the world is striving for, that the world is clamoring for or trying to attain. Do you know the world and all of their clamoring and all of their endeavoring to fulfill this need within themselves? This need to fulfill a gap or a void within themselves. There's a lack. There's something that they're trying to fill with so many different things. With relationships. There's a billboard that I remember passing going into Oklahoma. Don't know if it's still there, and I can't quote it anymore. But it said something about, are you struggling with in your marriage? It's not your wife you need to change. It's your life that you need to change. But our world today is of the mindset, if I can get something else. Fulfillment is like the carrot that's out, just out of reach, that's just beyond my grasp. If I could only get out there. If I could only gain this relationship. If I could only be part of this group of people. Be part of this club or of this society. I could have a sense of belonging, and that would fulfill, it would satisfy me within. People today are looking for fulfillment. They're looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. They're looking for their fulfillment and their honor in Facebook, in the number of likes and shares and things that they're able to accumulate. That's not where fulfillment is. That's not where real contentment is. People are searching for it in possessions, in the things that they can get. And I'm not here to say it's wrong to have a phone and it's wrong to this and that, but the thing that drives us in our lives isn't to be possessions. It's not to be that I try to fill something in my life by the possessions that I have. What was it that Paul said? As using this world, but not abusing it. That I have the right balance. That it's not what drives my life. That I'm living for the next thing that comes out. I'm living for that next cell phone. That next device that's released. Possessions. I've seen folks that have turned away from the Lord. And I've seen them trying to fill their lives with empty fluff. Trying to fill their lives with, I've seen that, filling their lives with devices and with electronics and one thing after, and if I, oh, have you heard about this new device that they're about to release? And that's what they're investing their time in, their energy in, that they're living for, and counting down to that day. And the ones that are camped out in line for hours ahead of time, to get that next step, I'm looking for something that'll fill a longing, that'll fill a void that I have. There's fulfillment that I'm searching for. You can go and find of many devices, videos that people have taken of unwrapping, of them unboxing this device because there's such an excitement and a rush that some people get by being able to unpackage some shiny new device and object. People that have pursued after hobbies. And I don't have anything wrong with a good, clean hobby that's sanctified and in its proper place. But trying to find fulfillment. I'm going to just wholly pursue after this thing and make this my life. I've seen them turn to fashion. Follow after the fashions of the world. And it's what they live for. It's why they try to find fulfillment for, is looking at all the fashions of the world, all the runways or whatever they're looking to dictate how they dress and how they conduct themselves. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, speaks of those that are trying to find fulfillment in all the wrong places like this. Isaiah 9:20 says, "And he shall snatch on his right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand. They shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. You know, it's the path that Brother John mentioned a little bit with the Sunday school for the children this morning. It's the path of sin that it leads you down of the carrot that's ever before you that you can never get enough of, that you can never quite get that full fulfillment that I'm searching for, that I've got to go to the next depth or the next level. You'll snatch on the left hand or you'll try to grab up as quickly as you can. You'll pursue after, but you'll find yourself still hungry. You'll find yourself, I believe in the 29th chapter, it likens it unto a man that dreams and he's hungry, but he dreams that he's eating, and then he wakes up and he's still hungry. It was just a dream. There was nothing of lasting value or substance to it. So it is trying to find our fulfillment and satisfaction with the gain of this world. But aren't you thankful there's something so much more? There's something so much more satisfying. Jesus said to everyone that thirsteth, well, not, Jesus spoke to the woman of the well of the water that he had to offer, but we read in Isaiah, of everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Then they that have no money, let them come and get of this and enjoy it, a full possession, a full portion of what the Lord has that's without money. That's not what the world has to offer, but there's something that the Lord has for us that satisfies our thirst. It's the only thing that I found that'll do it. The only thing that will really give a contented, satisfied feeling. That I can feel like my life is fulfilled. My life is complete. That I'm not missing some pieces to the puzzle that I have to go and try to pursue and try to... There's a void here that I'm trying to fill. Salvation satisfies those longings. It will give us to drink of the water of life so that we need never thirst again. The song we sing, number 300, says, I'm drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures nor adorning rich and gay, for I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. I found something that satisfies my soul, that is complete. It's a completion. It's a fulfillment or a fullness to my life that I don't need to want. Then the scriptures say that there are those that, how does it say, those that seek the Lord or those that trust in the Lord shall never suffer hunger, shall never have any lack. There's no lack with the Lord. There's no place that the Lord says, I'm sorry, I'm not able to touch that area of your life. I'm not able to fulfill that. I'm not able to satisfy that. You're going to have to go look somewhere else for that. The Lord doesn't have any referrals. The Lord doesn't have to send us somewhere else to another specialist to try to meet the deepest needs that we have. But the Lord's able to satisfy. And you know, it's human nature, I believe, to look at the grass on the other side of the fence. Human nature to look, if you've ever seen the little cartoon of the cow that's on one side and he's got his neck through the fence trying to eat grass on the other side, and while he's over there, he looks back at his own side, gets his neck wrapped around the fence post, and he's back where he started with. Because there's something about human nature that what I have is not enough. That I want something that I'm looking at over there. On the other side, if only my situation was like that person's. If only I had what that person has, I'd be satisfied. Scripture talks about stolen water and bread eaten in secret. That there's something about that that seems appealing. That it's sweet. It has a sweetness to it, but it has the bitterness of death. That it leads to death. Human nature, searching for and looking for that I don't have, never satisfied with what I do have, and always looking for something a little bit more. But you know, the scripture that we started with said, godliness with contentment. That's where the real gain is. To be able to be in the place that I can find in the Lord contentment. That I don't have, and it's not based on the abundance of things that I have. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist of that, of the abundance of the things which he possesses. But we live in a very materialistic age today. You don't believe me? Christmas season's on us. Just see what Christmas to many people has become. To the commercialization and the all about possessions and material things. And it's what so many people live their lives for today. Our lives don't consist of that. There's something deeper than that. There's something that the Lord has for us that'll satisfy us. But I want to challenge us this afternoon that we guard ourselves against a spirit of discontent, because it's rampant in our world today. People aren't satisfied with their first companion. They're not satisfied with their wife or their husband. They're not satisfied with this house. I'm not satisfied with a car that's got a few years on it. I'm not satisfied with this and with that. And so I'm always having to try to get more and more to satisfy something. Our contentment is not based on the abundance of things that we have, on the quality of things that we have. But our contentment is found coupled with godliness in the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at the definition of that word contentment. Thayer reckons it from the Greek as this: content with one's lot, with one's means, though the slenderest, independent of external circumstances. Our contentment doesn't have anything to do with external circumstances. It doesn't have to. Our contentment does not have to be contingent upon it, whether I have the same thing that my neighbors have, or whether I have this or I have that, or if only my life was a little bit different in this area, I could be content. I could know what real contentment is. Independent of external circumstances. You remember what Paul said of the last days and the danger, the peril of the last days? One of the things that he said would mark mankind is that they'd be unthankful. We just celebrated a holiday of Thanksgiving. Do you know that holiday has become something so different to so many people? We have so much to be thankful for. But if we're not careful, the enemy wants to introduce a spirit of discontent. Then I begin to take for granted all the Lord's blessings, all the things that the Lord has done for me, and I begin to look for something else. If only I had this. If only, or even, Lord, if only you did this for me, then I'd be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. First Corinthians chapter 10. Speaking of the children of Israel here, giving some warnings of the things that were written, as scripture says in verse 6, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. There are things that we look back on to the children of Israel that are pretty clear cut, that I look at and say, how could you fashion a golden calf? How could you bow your knee before a golden calf and do that kind of thing? How could you commit fornication as you did wholesale? In those instances, how could you turn your back on the Lord like that? But you know, one of the things that it warns us about today, neither murmur ye, as they also murmured back there. You know, murmuring is something. I looked at the word murmur. It means to mutter, to grumble, to say against in a low tone. You know, murmuring is not necessarily rising up in outright defiance. I defy God to your face for what you're doing here. What you're allowing, it's not going that far. But murmuring is something almost under the breath. It's a very discontented. It's a very displeased with the circumstances. As they were there and brought into the wilderness, you notice they didn't just turn and shake their fist at God in the sky, but they looked at Moses. Moses, you're the one to blame here. You're the one that brought us out into the wilderness. It's your fault that we're where we're at today. It's your fault that I don't have something to eat, that I don't have something to drink. What are you doing, Moses? You're the cause of all our trouble here. But you know, there's something that we have to keep in mind. A faith in our God, in who He is and the care that He has for us. That nothing will touch me unless it passed through His hand. Do we believe that? Do we believe that the enemy is able to come in and affect or stir up or do something in our lives that's overriding the power of the Lord? The Lord allows things to come our way. So do you know who they were really murmuring against? They might have been looking at Moses when they were doing it, but from whose hand do all these things come? From whose hand did this circumstance come? So although they were murmuring at Moses, it was really against the Lord. And the Lord was highly displeased with their murmuring. As we see from the scriptures and the things, the way the Lord judged Israel because of their murmuring. He didn't take it lightly. And you know, this is where I'm challenged. Lord, we're talking about not just idol worship and fornication, but Lord, help me to be content. Help me not to have a spirit of murmuring. A spirit of, okay, fine, I'll do it. What kind of giver does the Lord love? Does He love a murmuring giver? Lord, I'll serve You, but I don't know why You always allow this in my life. Lord, I don't know why You've got me in this kind of place. I'm going to serve You, Lord, but I'm not happy about it. I'm not satisfied with this circumstance. As I said at the outset, I wish I could say I learned this long ago. But you know, there are places that I look back on and I say, Lord, I wish I could have done that differently. Lord, I wish I could go back and do it again. You have to be careful of what you ask for. Lord, I wish, remember the battle we went through with Katrina's mother for over a year. You know, battles can get long and they can get weary and it can get to a place that all I can almost think about is when I get out of this battle. Lord, when are You going to get me out of this? Lord, when is this thing going to come to an end? When are You going to give deliverance, Lord? And I look back on it afterwards and I say, Lord, why could I not have been in a place to be able to be contented where I am. Folks, it's beyond my ability. It's beyond me to be able to say, and we sing a song that says, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You talk of faith at a time like that. That's when life is easy and everything's going your way. But then you're down in the valley. And it's not quite so easy then to say, be content in this circumstance. You know, if there's a spirit of discontent, there is a grace of contentment. That the Lord can give me grace to be able in my circumstance to have a contentment. You know, I believe Paul found that place. I'd like to look at, we'll get to 2 Corinthians maybe here in a little bit. I'd like to go to Philippians. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, both of those circumstances carry with it their own dangers, their own risk to our souls. But Paul said, I've learned something. You know what it tells me? It's not just to my human nature that I'm going to just go through life and be of a contented spirit or a contented attitude. But I've learned something. By the grace of God and the things that I've gone through in life, the Lord's had to teach me some things. The grace of God that appeareth unto all men teaches us. He has to teach us by the grace that only He can impart. I can't tell you how to be content in your battles, in the circumstances, in the place that you go through. Wouldn't that sound pretty hollow and empty? You be content in that place that you're struggling through right there. But the Lord has a grace of contentment. The Lord has grace to be able to give us, because otherwise I can find myself in a place that I'm going through life always chasing the carrot. I'm going through life wishing my life away. You ever found yourself doing that? I remember especially as a child and a teenager, it seemed like I was always looking for that next moment. When I turn 10, boy, I'm going to be big then. When I turn 13, I'm going to be a young person then. When I turn 16, I'll be able to drive then. Well, I'm still not an adult. When I turn 18, but you know, that can carry right on through if we're not careful. That I spend my life, instead of spending this moment to the fullest by the grace of God, I spend this moment looking for the next moment. I spend this moment, and the Lord has hope for us. The Lord has hope for us to look ahead. Whenever we're in the night hours, there is an expectation of the morning dawning. There is an expectation that morning's going to come, and with it can come rejoicing. But you know, there's also a grace that the Lord has for us in the night hours as well, that I don't have to spend my life, Lord, if only my circumstance were not what it is today, I'd be satisfied. I'd be content. But the Lord instead is wanting us to find the grace of contentment in the circumstance that we're in today, that I not have a murmuring attitude, a grumbling. Those of you that have had children, or those of you that have, I can catch all of you in this one, those of you that have been children, if you've ever been in a place or seen your children in a place where you're given something to do and you know obedience is required, and I know the penalty of not obeying, so I'm going to do it, but I'm going to show by my body language and by my attitude and by the way I talk and every other way, I'm not happy about it. I don't like it. I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to have a good attitude. I'm not going to be pleasant about it unless you get me out of this. And then I'll be happy and cheerful about it. The Lord's not wanting children that follow Him that way. Lord, if You'll change my circumstance, then I'll serve You cheerfully. Lord, if You'll change the situation that I am, then I'll be contented. Paul said, I've learned. By the grace of God, he had to learn, in whatsoever state I'm in, whether I'm being abased or whether I'm being exalted, I've learned to be content in that state. You know, that's what can help stabilize us through our lives, that I don't have to live as a victim of circumstances. That I'm up on the mountain and down in the valley and up, but Lord, help me. Teach me by Your grace, in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Telling myself again. I remember one time I had a vehicle that I wanted to sell. It gotten into my mind, I was tired of this vehicle, and of course I had better reasons in my mind than just being tired of it. But I wanted a different vehicle, wanted something a little bigger. We had a growing family of one or two children at the time, and decided that I need to sell this. I want to sell it. I already have in mind what I want. And I'd gone and looked at it and met this man and gone for a test drive and looked at the car and that I wanted to buy and already had it set. That's what I want. All I need is to sell this vehicle. So I did everything that I knew to do. I put a sign in it and I put it out in the lot. I put it on Craigslist. I did everything that I knew to do to sell a vehicle and it wouldn't sell. And I tried and I tried and I got one phone call after another phone call after another phone call. And I had to meet so many people down at that vehicle sitting in the parking lot. I want to drive it. I want to buy it. And I get my hopes up and finally one of the times we're even so sure, I called the man that I was trying to buy a vehicle from and said, I want to come out and look at it again because we're going to be ready this weekend to buy it. And the people who had made all the promises came back out and said, let's meet at the bank. And the bank said, I'm not loaning you that money. And it fell flat. And it fell flat over and over and over again for months. You know, the Lord taught me a lesson through that I wish I would have learned on about day two of that ordeal, and I would have avoided the months long. You know, it did something to my peace. It did something to my contentment that I was being a victim of this circumstance here. I had said in my mind, I want to do this, I want to sell this, and I'm going to try in every way I can to make this happen. And it's not happening. And the doors are shutting one after another in my face, and I'm determined that I'm still going to do it. Determined I'm still going to sell that thing. And I want talk about a roller coaster ride. One person that says they'll buy it and it falls flat. And another one that calls and says they'll buy it and it falls flat again. You know, the Lord began showing me that thing is robbing your peace. It's not worth it. Commit it to me. Leave it with me. And you know, I did that and committed it to the Lord and took it off the market and said, Lord, whatever you want to do with this. And you know, later on down the road, sometime later, we had moved to a different state at that point and felt like the time was right to be able to sell it then. And I posted it for sale the same way I'd been doing it. And within a day, the thing sold. But you know, there's something that the Lord had to try to teach a stubborn me through all of that. Commit it to me. Commit your way into the Lord. Because you can be in the passenger side as a victim of all the circumstances of life. I'm not content because this circumstance isn't working out the way that I wanted it to. And I'm so distressed about it. Lord, help me to be able to commit to Him my way and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. You know, part of the beauty of the gospel is that it fits in any circumstance. It fits in any situation of life. You don't have to be of a certain class, of a certain society, of a certain position in life. The gospel will fit your life if you're willing to fit your life to it. If I'm willing to say, Lord, in the place that I'm in, Lord, make me Christ-like in this place. It's not about, Lord, if you deliver me out of this place. Notice he said here, if you can be made free. He's not saying always just look for the very worst circumstances in life. But he's saying if that's the circumstance that you're in, abide in that with God. Don't always just be pounding on the door and hitting your head on the door trying to break it down. And trying to find peace on the other side of the door. Because if God is with you, you can find contentment and the grace of God and the power of salvation right there in that circumstance. Not looking for, if only I was called in different circumstances, in different times, to a different family, by different neighbors, under a different boss, you name it. Then I'd be able to have grace. Then I'd be able to have a greater portion of victory. But what he's trying to impart to us here is whatever place that you're in, be content to abide there. And the secret that he gives here, abide therein with God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't believe he's saying here, you ought be content to always just have maybe the lowest paying job that you could ever get whenever you have opportunity. You're struggling with hunger and your family is having a hard time making ends meet and you have an opportunity to better yourself, use the opportunity. But if the Lord has you in a place that it's where he's got you and there's no other opportunity, there's no other doors that he's opened before you, be content in the place that the Lord has put us. Otherwise, the enemy will try to rob our peace throughout our lives, always chasing something that I don't have today. You know, life goes by so quickly. I've only lived 34 years of it, but I can look back and say, where have those years gone? So quickly they're by. And I don't want to look back and say, I spent my life always looking for something else. I spent my life always saying, whenever I get to this point in life, whenever this happens in life, whenever you have young children sometimes, you're thinking, oh, whenever those children get up a little bit older, whenever they're not getting into everything, whenever I'm not changing diapers, whenever this, Lord, help me in whatsoever state of life I'm in. Help me to find your grace right there. Help me to find a grace of contentment that'll keep me, that'll stabilize me through the ups and downs of life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Twelve and seven says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The Apostle Paul, that the Lord taught, in whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content, came to a place here that he said, Lord, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'd like to sell this vehicle. Lord, if it be your will, you see, I believe I need something else. Lord, if it be your will, I'd sure like to find a different job. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong for seeking that in the proper place. That's not the object of my life. It's not my pursuit of life that I'm following after. But you know, if the Lord says, no, wait, he'll also say, if we'll listen and be willing to hear it, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for the place that you're in, whatever it is. Whatever your circumstance and my circumstance, the Lord has grace for us to be able to abide in that circumstance. To be able to have grace and victory today. Not just, Lord, whenever I get out of this. Whenever you remove this thorn in the flesh, Lord, I'll have a testimony then. Lord, give me a testimony today. Lord, give me grace today. Paul found that. He found, even though he still had the thorn in the flesh, I've got something to glory in. I don't have to go through life saying, oh, woe is me. Still got a thorn in the flesh. Lord, why? Murmuring under my breath. Lord, if only I didn't have this thorn in the flesh. You know what I could do for you, Lord. If only you... Oh, Lord, I'll rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest on me in that kind of place. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful. I want to have a spirit of contentment and not of discontent like the world has. And it comes only through the grace of God that's imparted, that's taught to us throughout life in today's battle and in tomorrow's battle. I'm going to need another portion of it. But I'm thankful that the Lord has a contentment for us. He wants his people to be a contented people, a satisfied people in him, in the things that he allows in our lot in life. What was it that David said? The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. In other words, my lot in life, my heritage. I have a goodly heritage in the Lord. But I think of my lot more broadly as the things that the Lord brings in my life. Are we thankful? Do we have a spirit of thanksgiving or of murmuring? Can I say also, Lord, thank you for my lot. Thank you for the lines that you've caused to fall in my life. It's hard maybe. The thorns dig sometimes. Lord, help me to glory in it, to be able to be contented by the grace of God. You pray for me. Amen.